Baseball Tonight, the podcast.
This is the Baseball Tonight podcast for Monday, August 31st, 2020. Producing from his home studio in the foothills of Connecticut is Taylor Schwenk. I'm Buster Olney, and I'm not really sure where I am. Feels like I'm bouncing around all over the place today. I'm starting out in Philadelphia, actually. And before we talk about today, trade deadline day, I just want to give a shout out to the Fandemic crew. That's the group of Phillies fans that gather out beyond the center field gate in Citizens Bank Park, about an hour and a half before last night's game. They're out there. You know, the group eventually would number about 100 people, and they're standing out and making noise during the course of the game in a time when there are no fans in the stands. And I got to tell you, it makes a difference. But I got a chance to talk to them a few times. They were so much fun, and they certainly add a lot to our broadcast. So thanks to them. This is trade deadline day. And so for that reason, Taylor, we're going to have two podcasts today. I think you and I talked about it on Friday. This first podcast, which we're taping on Monday morning, is going to talk specifically about deals that are already done.
Right. So we're going to have Tim Kirkchen on. Yeah, deals that are already done exclusively. There will be no speculation. And as much as Buster wants to talk this Mike Clevinger trade into reality, we won't really discuss it today. Hopefully it happens. I'm rooting for it and for you, Buster, because you've been a big proponent of this trade. And I hope it goes down so we can talk about it on our later show with Dave Schoenfield and Sarah Langs.
Yeah, and what we'll do is after the trade deadline, a little while after, we're going to tape a show with those two, and we'll talk about deals that went down. And I do expect that there are going to be some big deals that happen before the deadline. Let's get to some of the news and notes. Billionaire Steve Cohen is near a deal to buy the Mets that was confirmed by Jeff Passan. You remember that last fall, Cohen, 64, had previously come to terms on a deal to buy a controlling share of the Mets at $2.6 billion. It's likely to be less than that with the final price, but the Mets might be moving into the hands of someone with a lot of money. We're going to be talking with Tim Kirkchen coming up about that, about the implications. The Astros and Athletics were postponed on Sunday after a positive test for the Oakland Athletics. Major League Baseball announced the postponement was out of an abundance of caution. We'll see if there's some dominoes as we move forward. The Cubs' Tyler Chatwood left the game yesterday with elbow discomfort. You wonder if that might feed into the Cubs' decisions leading up the trade deadline today. There were a flurry of trades, and the Padres were the busiest team over the weekend. Trevor Rosenthal, Mitch Moreland, they added Jason Castro, they added Austin Nola. And part of that in getting Nola was part of a seven-player trade with the Seattle Mariners. The Rays traded DH Jose Martinez to the Cubs. The Braves, scrambling to get a starting pitcher in place for the Sunday night game against the Phillies here last night, traded for Tommy Malone with the Orioles for two players to be named later. That didn't necessarily go so well. We're going to be hearing about that in a moment. Oakland got Tommy La Stella from the Angels for Franklin Barreto. You know, Tommy La Stella is someone who I think is really going to add to Oakland's depth. We're going to be talking with Tim about that. Last night, the Braves and Phillies. What an unusual game. On the five-year anniversary of Jake Arrieta's no-hitter on Sunday Night Baseball, that in 2015 when he was pitching for the Cubs against the Dodgers, he got absolutely pounded.
3-2 now. Bases loaded, one out. The pitch. Swing and a line drive. Base hit out into left center field. One run is in. Coming around to score is Acuna. He's in. And it's now 4-0 as Freddie Freeman comes through.
That from Boog Sciambi on ESPN Radio. But even after Arrieta left, the inning continued.
Here's a pitch. Swing and a line drive. Base hit into right field. That's rolling towards the corner. Harper over to pick it up. Ozuna is in. Darnell racing to the plate. Here's the throw to the plate. Tag and safe at the plate. Nick Markakis knocks in two with a double. And the Braves have absolutely blown it open. It is 8-0.
Austin Riley followed.
The 2-2. Swing and a ball hammered. Forget it. Left center field. That one is way gone. Oh, my goodness. That one's in the air. Austin Riley. And it is 10-0. Absolutely clobbered. They say 425 on the distance.
So Bryce Harper wore a microphone for us during the game last night, and with the score 10-0, he talked with Matt Viscursian, Alex Rodriguez in the booth, and said, well, you know, in these situations, maybe you score a run and then you score one run per inning and you're right back into it. Well, they did, in fact, mount a comeback in the bottom of the third inning.
Here's a swing and a line drive and a fair ball inside the right field line. Bangs off the wall. In to score is one. Here comes Segura around to score. And the Phillies are now within four. It's 10-6.
And then it would be 10-7. And then it would be 10-8. Well, Marcell Ozuna established some equilibrium for the Braves in the top of the fifth.
The 1-1. Swing and a ground ball. Base hit into left field. Camargo around third on his way to the plate. He's in to score, and it's an RBI single for Ozuna, and it's now 11-8 Braves.
The Phillies, however, moved within a run in the bottom of the eighth.
The 1-1. Swing and a fly ball right field. This one's got a chance, and that one is gone. Over the wall the opposite way, and it's now 11-10.
Incredible. Just incredible.
Chris Singleton joining Boog Sciambi on ESPN Radio on Sunday Night Baseball. But the Braves would hang on with help from Dansby Swanson.
Swing and a high fly ball drilled to center and gone. Dansby Swanson. And that was crushed to center. And the Braves pick up a little insurance. It's now 12-10. And for Dansby Swanson, the home run, his fifth.
Yeah, the game lasted about 4 hours and 15 minutes. Absolute craziness going both ways. About 400 pitches during the course of last night's game. We were talking about how Bryce Harper really saved the broadcast with the work that he did on the microphone. We will be hearing some of that later in the podcast. The Yankees were way behind the Mets in game one of their doubleheader. They had a five-run inning in the bottom of the eighth. They came back and won that game. And then in game two, this is what happened in the top of the eighth.
Driven deep to left center field. Going back, McNeil looking up. See ya. Oh, did he need that? A huge pinch hit grand slam for Gary Sanchez. And the Yankees lead 5-1.
Michael Kay on the YES Network. So the Yankees really needed a win or two, and they swept a doubleheader from the Mets on Sunday. The Padres continue to do Padres-like things in 2020. Manny Machado getting his hit in the top of the eighth.
Here's the pitch from Pazos, hit hard on the ground and through the right side. That's a base hit. You know, Fernando's being waved. He's on his way home. Blackman doesn't have much of an arm. The throw is cut off. RBI single Manny Machado, 11-2 lead San Diego Padres.
That from 97.3, the fan. The Padres win 13-2. As the Orioles are making moves over the weekend, trading the likes of Tommy Malone, I got a text from an evaluator said, you know what? The Blue Jays are going to benefit from this because they're the team playing the Orioles over the course of the weekend, and that certainly came to fruition in the bottom of the ninth.
The 1-2, swinging a ground ball, past the dive of Velasquez, into left field, a base hit. One run is in. Here comes Grichuk, the throw to the plate. Not in time! Not in time! The Blue Jays win it! A game-winning two-run base hit by Teoscar Hernandez!
Yeah, and the Orioles bullpen did not include Michael Gibbons, who was traded to the Colorado Rockies during the course of the day. That sound from Sportsnet 590, the fan. The Cardinals beat the Indians 7-2. How about Adam Wainwright throwing a complete game on his birthday?
Carlson makes the catch, and how about Adam Wainwright? What a job. What a job. A complete game. His 24th biggest complete game.
We don't see the Cardinals congratulate each other, hugs or handshakes, but a hug from Yadier Molina for Adam Wainwright. A 2 hour and 24 minute game. Happy birthday, Adam Wainwright, on your 39th birthday with career complete game number 23.
Mike Shannon and John Rooney on the Cardinals radio network. Now, before we get to Tim Kirchen, Fantasy Focus Football is back weekdays at 10 a.m. Eastern. Matthew Berry, Field Yates, Stefania Bell, and Mike Clay are here to help you dominate your fantasy league. Watch the show on YouTube, Twitter, or the ESPN app, and listen to the show wherever you get your podcasts. Don't forget to draft your team. My son's been drafting a lot of teams lately. Compete with your friends and take home the crown by signing up now at ESPN.com/fantasyfootball.
You can now stream the most MLB games on DirecTV without a satellite dish.
Yes, the clutch hits, the strikeouts, grand salamis, web gems, with nothing on your roof. So whoever's up there, whether it's roofers, Santa, birds, old-timey chimney sweeps, moody teenagers, thrill-seeking raccoons, you name it, they won't find a satellite dish. But you will find your MLB games on DirecTV. That means DirecTV is your home for baseball this season. Root, 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 with nothing on your roof. Call 1-800-DIRECTV or visit DirecTV.com. Sign up today. Claim based on total games carried on sports networks. Sports availability varies by zip code and requires choice package.
Vivid Seats wants to get you to the games you love this spring. Experience every pitch, assist, and game-winning shot live and in person. And the best part? Each transaction is a step toward a free 11th ticket with Vivid Seats rewards. Score unbeatable perks like free tickets, surprise seat upgrades, and annual birthday deals. As the official ticketing partner of ESPN, Vivid Seats is offering you $20 off your first $200 ticket purchase with code BASEBALL. That's code BASEBALL. Visit VividSeats.com or download the app today. Vivid Seats. Experience it live.
Scene heads rejoice.
Noodle-a-luck!
It's Timmy time.
Is this a great game or what?
With Tim Kirkchen on Baseball Tonight.
And Tim Kirkchen covers baseball for ESPN. And Tim, trade deadline day. Is any particular trade that jumps out for you in history on this type of day where you're like, wow, by the end of the day, you were absolutely shocked?
Well, we've had some of those days. I was on Baseball Tonight the night that Randy Johnson got traded to the Astros. And the way that it came down was our show was over at midnight. And we were assured, Peter Gammons was with me, he was assured that Randy Johnson would not be traded. And at literally 1 minute till midnight, they completed that trade. And then they announced it like 35 minutes later after we went off the air. So people went to sleep thinking Randy Johnson staying with the Mariners. Instead, he went to the Astros, went 10-1 with a 1.28 ERA the rest of the way. And three of the guys they got in that trade went to Seattle, and 2 years, 3 years later, that team won 116 games. So that's one of the biggest deals ever made at the trade deadline, and it wasn't supposed to happen, and it happened with literally a minute to go. And for Twitter and everything else, there was about a 45-minute period there where everyone thought there's no trade, and then there was. So that's one of those we just shook our head and said, all right, this is the trade deadline at its finest and at its worst at the same time.
And what I remember about that trade specifically, I was covering the Yankees at the time. Brian Cashman told George Steinbrenner that team from that year, which wound up winning 125 games in the World Series, you know, we're good enough without making that trade. And he didn't think it was a good value. And he told Steinbrenner that Randy Johnson's going to the Houston Astros. And Steinbrenner told him, you better be right, and hung up the phone. And so the rest of that year, nobody rooted more against the Houston Astros than Brian Cashman. That's the life of a general manager, especially when you're working for George Steinbrenner. All right, let's talk about some of the trades and deals over the weekend. The biggest deal, really, Steve Cohen now in the driver's seat, it appears, to be the future owner of the Mets. All along, Tim, we've talked about how he's got the biggest pile of cash. He had the biggest advantage. You know, Alex Rodriguez, Jennifer Lopez, they certainly put a lot of work into their bid. But in the end, the guy with the biggest pile of chips wins out. And I think it is absolutely landscape changing for baseball. What about you?
Yeah, I checked in on that guy yesterday because I don't pretend to know, you know, ownership guys. I'd much rather talk to an outfielder than an agent or a lawyer or anything else. But apparently this guy is very, you know, very involved. He's very data driven. And he recognizes how data leads to the best of a player and a company and everything else. He's very hands on. But he's not a very sociable guy, meaning you don't see him at the ballpark all the time, which I think for the Mets is a good thing. I think he needs to come in with all his money, hire the right people to run that team, and then stay out of the way. And from what I gathered, that's what he's planning on doing. But I heard some really good things about him yesterday and checking in. So I'm going to believe him for now and see if it works out.
And I do think that, as we've seen with many other owners, when they come in for the first time, they want to make a big statement. They want to get the fans excited. And so if you are the agent for JT Realmuto, if you are the agent for George Springer, this was a good thing, Tim, that Steve Cohen is buying the Mets. You know, I think I was down down here in Philadelphia. You know, the Fandemic crew last night was, you know, had a sign up, signed JT. Well, you know what? It may not be easy if Steve Cohen comes in basically wanting to make a statement and perhaps pursue someone like Realmuto or George Springer. Yes?
Yes. And I was told by someone who knows him really well that this was just a text message. He can keep up with the Yankees. That was the text message I got. Now, I'm not exactly sure what that means, but I think it means with all his money and his competitive nature and his ability to understand who human beings are, that he's going to recognize if we're going to get any good here, we have to compete with the Yankees on more than one level. And signing JT Realmuto, of course, would be the perfect way to do that. Assuming the Phillies are going to let him go. I'm not sure that's going to happen either, but that's the point. This guy is not going to be overpowered in New York by the Yankees, according to someone who knows him very well.
And Tim, I don't know if he has somebody specific in mind that he wants to hire as general manager. I think there's close to no chance that Brody Van Wagenen is retained as the GM. You know, let's face it, some of the deals that Brody has made since he took over the team have not worked out, most notably the Edwin Diaz, Robinson Cano trade. But I think the hot mic moment the other day, knowing how much that angered people in Central Baseball, I would be absolutely shocked if Brody's retained moving forward. What about you?
I would totally agree with that, Buster. And again, the point to be made here is how hard it is to be a general manager today, how hard it is to be a manager today. You can't just take people who've never done this job and say, well, he's a really smart young guy and he's been in the business, so he can do this job. Well, that doesn't mean you go out and hire a 65-year-old general manager who's done this for 30 years, but you better get somebody who's been in the baseball arena before. Being a GM is a really hard job, and they better get somebody in New York who's a little bit more experienced at that job. You can't just fire a guy in there and say, hey, you're the GM now. It's a lot more than that.
All right, some other deals that have already been completed. Let's talk about the San Diego Padres, who I love the Padres being aggressive. You know, last offseason, Ron Fowler, who's the CEO, I think his title is, of the team, basically came out and talked about how pivotal 2020 would be for the team. He had no idea what was coming with the pandemic, but he essentially put everybody on notice, including himself, if you remember his comments, in talking about how he needed to see this team making progress. They certainly have done that this year. And then yesterday, over the last 2 days, they've been the most aggressive team in the trade market.
Yeah, and again, A.J. Preller is the general manager. We've been over this, Buster. This guy is so wildly competitive. I've seen him in some places other than baseball parks, and I can tell you, he doesn't want to lose for 1 second at anything. As we all know, he never sleeps. He's totally relentless. He's looking always to make his team better, everything better around him. And look at yesterday. I mean, Mitch Moreland is going to be a useful piece. So they already got a first baseman, but with the DH, now they have two first basemen. They can, one of them can be a DH every day, and both of them seemingly can hit. Plus the deal with the Mariners, you know, he needed a veteran catcher. He got one in Austin Nola. And I was really impressed with what the Padres did yesterday. And I don't think they're close to being done, because they can smell it. And it's when AJ smells a victory, he usually goes and gets it.
And it felt like the series of trades were essentially made for potentially that second round matchup they have in the postseason, where, you know, it looks like they got an excellent chance statistically to be the number one wild card in the number one seeded wild card team. The Dodgers are like 5 games ahead at this point. And I don't think there's any chance the Padres are catching the Dodgers. But what potentially could happen is best of three series. Let's say the Dodgers advance. Let's say the Padres advance. In the second series, those two teams would face off. And so when you get a Trevor Rosenthal, when you upgrade your catching the way they did, when you get Mitch Moreland, it feels like they're sort of rounding out their roster for the postseason. I agree with you. Some of the, you know, the trades and the fact that they've now stockpiled this group of catchers tells me that they're preparing for a larger deal, you know, whether it is for a Lance Lynn of the Rangers, or, you know, maybe Dylan Bundy, or maybe Mike Clevenger.
Right. And as we know, Buster, their farm system is maybe the deepest in Major League Baseball, and they're starting to move some of those guys. And I sense they'll move some more. Again, A.J. Preller is a very smart guy. So he stockpiles all this young talent, and then he moves it when he gets a chance to strike. And this is his chance. He's made three strikes in the last couple days, and I think there's one, at least one more to come before they're done.
All right, you teased it. You've seen him competitive in venues other than baseball. I know you guys have played basketball against each other. Give me a scouting report on A.J. Preller, the basketball player.
Oh, he is a nightmare. At least he is for me. He's also 20 years younger than me, and that's not the point. Let me just tell you a quick story. We played two-on-two at the smallest gym during the World Series like 10 years ago, and their team beat us the first three games. And the fourth game, it's like just a throwaway game. And it was like the seventh game of the World Series for AJ. We took a lead, and he was not about to lose the fourth game of a two-on-two during the World Series in the smallest gym you could possibly imagine. He can shoot the three. He can finish at the rim. He's quick as lightning. Again, he is a nightmare for anyone, especially for me.
I loved the Oakland Athletics getting Tommy La Stella. It feels like to me like La Stella is a great postseason addition. He's someone who puts the ball in play. And you know what? He's certainly going to give Bob Melvin a lot of options in the late innings.
Yeah, and this is a classic A's move, a guy who can play multiple positions. And, you know, we were talking to Joe Maddon the other day about La Stella, and he said he's so much stronger than he used to be. He's really got some juice now. He can hit. He's always been a pretty good hitter, but now he can hit the ball out of the ballpark. He can hit the gaps. He's become a much better player in the last couple of years. Joe Maddon was raving about him. They didn't want to trade him, but again, when you're the Angels and you're in trouble and you got to rebuild, this is the way to do it. Perfect move for the A's. Really good team anyway. They just got better with that guy.
Tell me what you think about where the Angels are now. You know, they clearly making the decision to sell and to take advantage of some of their assets.
Yeah, they have to, Buster. Their pitching is terrible right now. And it just shows you again, you can't win with three star players and then not much else after that. I remember the Rangers when they had Juan Gonzalez and Nolan Ryan and Julio Franco. They're like top five players were the best top five for any team. But from 5 to 25, they weren't very good. It's a reminder that even though you have star power on your team, if you don't have a fourth and fifth starter, if you don't have a middle relievers, if you don't have a good defense, you're not going to win. So I think the Angels have to look at themselves here and say, how are we going to get some pitching? What are we going to do? And how are we going to get younger? Well, at least they've started that process.
By the way, I looked this up as you were talking. I mentioned Tommy La Stella against right-handed pitching in the short season. At the time of the trade, 84 plate appearances, 306 average against right-handed pitching, 11 walks, 5 strikeouts, 6 doubles, 4 homers. So 5 strikeouts and 10 extra base hits against right-handed pitching. That's pretty good. The Cubs get Jose Martinez. What did you think of that one? That was a little bit of a surprise for me. I almost feel like they're setting themselves up for those situations when the opponent brings in a lefty to face an Anthony Rizzo. You know, a reliever has to face three batters, and you got Jose Martinez perhaps sitting on your bench.
Yes, we know, Buster. Well, David Johnson used to always tell you, win in the postseason with bullpen and bench. And you better have a bench these days. And this really added to the Cubs bench. Now, we saw what their outfield did yesterday, historic two homers from each of the three starting outfielders. But with the DH, you can use Jose Martinez in a couple of different spots. He's not going to play the outfield for that team. I'm pretty sure about that. But to be a DH here and there and be that big right-handed bat off the bench, I think that was it. I didn't see that move coming. I didn't think the Cubs would do it. And I thought Martinez still had some value with the Rays, but with all those outfielders on the Rays, there just wasn't enough opportunities for him. So I think it's really going to help the Cubs because that guy can hit. I mean, he can really hit left-handed pitching.
So last week we saw, of course, all those postponements tied to the social justice movement. This happened on Friday, and I thought of you when I saw this because you know Aaron Boone so well. Our colleague Marley Rivera asked him a question about what all this means to him, given the fact that you know he and his wife adopted two boys from Haiti. And this is what his response was. Give a listen to this.
I know I'm talking to a lot of people out there. You know, it's just it's been a hard and heavy year and, you know, a heartbreaking year in so many ways. And for my family, too. But I think that's the case for a lot of people of all different backgrounds and races. So my prayer is just that, you know, we continue to, even though we're going through some dark times, that at the end of this, we're better for it. And that's my continued prayer.
And before that, before he answered the question, he actually had to walk away from the microphone to compose himself. What did you think of what Aaron Boone said the other day, Tim?
Well, I'm certainly not surprised. I've said many times, Boone is the most human former baseball player that I've ever met. He's more like the average guy on the street. He's more like you and me, Buster, than any player I've ever met. Plays fantasy football, does all sorts of stuff like that. The most normal guy in the world. So I'm not surprised at all. And given how much he and his wife have done in Haiti, they've been there so many times. They saved those two kids' lives. And it's really important to him. Most of my conversations with him are about his kids, his family, and everything else, as opposed to what's he doing it in right field today. And so I wasn't surprised at all. He's a deeply emotional, passionate guy. And that's one reason he's a really good manager, because he understands who people are and the importance of human interaction.
Tim, I think this is going to be what we saw last week is going to become the new reflex in baseball for these situations. You know, in the last 5 or 6 years, I think in a lot of cases that the players' teams didn't really know how to react. I think they've developed some traction in understanding what they feel like they need to do.
Yeah, and it's good, Buster. This is, you know, we've had some Pee Wee Reese moments here in the last week. It's not on the same scale, obviously, but this is great for baseball. I'm so pleased with the way baseball players have reacted in these social injustice situations. And I think it's been real. I think it's been genuine. It's been spontaneous. I think it's been great. And I think it's a sign of things to come. It's not going to solve every problem, obviously, but at least we've gotten this thing going. We've gotten the discussion going, and we've seen some really, really powerful behavior here recently. And it's very encouraging for the game and for the country.
So I want to talk about our Sunday night broadcast last night. I think at the end of the day, the unequivocal statement is Bryce Harper saved our broadcast. Because, oh, my God, Tim, behind the scenes, and you've been party to these conversations behind the scenes when there are tech issues, when someone can't hear somebody else and someone can't communicate, and they've got these talk back buttons to the producers and they can't hear. That was going on from about an hour and a half before last night's game, throughout the game. Ronald Acuna Jr. was set to wear a microphone for the Atlanta Braves. In the second inning, Alex Rodriguez was going to interview him, and Acuna Jr. hurt his hamstring. And so he had to come out of the game, and so that went away. Bryce Harper, we found out just a few hours before the game, had decided, you know what, I'll wear the microphone through the first five innings. Well, as that was playing out last night, we initially had some issues trying to communicate with Bryce. So we didn't hear him in the first or second inning, and then that all got figured out. And he basically agreed to stay on with the microphone through the eighth inning, Tim. And he was phenomenal, which is not surprising.
Yeah, and not surprising at all. I mean, I'm not sure everyone understands who Bryce Harper is, but he's a guy who totally gets it. He totally understands where he is and what he's doing, because he's been there since he was 15 years old. On the cover of Sports Illustrated. I've had some of my favorite conversations with that guy because of his worldly nature, growing up in Vegas, things he's been through. And I think we should mic more players. I think it really brings out the human side of them. And boy, can I ever understand about issues with technology. I get him every day while I'm sitting in my office. And for him to fight through that while he's playing a major league game, I think tells you a lot about Bryce Harper. There's a lot to like there. I'm not sure everyone appreciates that.
The game last night lasted 4 hours and 50 minutes. The Braves scored 10 runs in the top of the second. Then the Phillies started to come back. The pitching was awful. There were walks all over the place. I can't remember which inning it was. It might have been the second or the third. But Bryce slammed into the outfield wall as he finished a play, and the microphone fell down. And then, like an inning later, we hear from Bryce. They're in the truck. He's saying, "Hey, guys, I found my earpiece. I think I'm ready to go now." That's how much he extended himself last night. And I was watching the reaction on social media, and people loved hearing from him. Just a, much in the same way that, you know, when you talk to Alex Rodriguez, you get the strong sense of just how big a baseball fan he is. And I think that's what came through with Bryce.
Right. And it is. You know, we had Dom Smith on the air this spring from left field in spring training, and his mic went out. And that was the funniest part of the entire time, when he couldn't hear us, but he just kept talking out there. But that was an exhibition game. This is Bryce Harper in a major league game. And for him to be that good, "Hey, I found my IFB on the warning track," that is priceless. And to be that good of a player and that good of a sport, I think tells you a little bit more about Bryce Harper.
All right, Tim. Well, great to talk with you. Have fun today. It's going to be a crazy day.
Crazy day ahead, and I got a game following the trade deadline. So I need to get to about 10 o'clock tonight in one piece. Can't wait.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin, or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
So we were just talking about Bryce Harper and the fact that he wore a mic on Sunday Night Baseball for a long, long time. Here's a compilation that MLB.com put together of Bryce Harper sound from the game.
Things have happened. Now a 9-run deficit.
Nice.
What's the experience like when you're playing in a game like this and it's still really early? There's still time in a night like tonight.
Yeah, I mean, I think the biggest thing is, you know, all these at-bats matter, all these innings matter. So, you know, just taking it one pitch at a time and one at-bat at a time and, you know, trying to, you know, I mean, one in an inning, if they don't score, then that means, you know, 10-9 in the ninth. I'll take it.
That's a way to look at it. It's one in an inning, 10-9 in the ninth. You got a game.
In the eighth or the eighth, I don't know, because we didn't score in the first, so that'd be eight, so. Hopefully get two or three in one inning, possibly.
Yeah, Bryce, I mean,
so why not?
I know for me, in games like this, the pressure goes out. You just say, hey, let's make it close. Anything can happen. Get a couple hits. If you cut this lead in half, all of a sudden you're within striking distance.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I mean, Atlanta's a great team. Everybody knows that. So, you know, if Cal goes out there and, you know, hopefully gets a few outs in the next couple of innings, we score some runs, make it close, and, you know, hopefully come back and possibly win this game. So we got a good offense too. So, I mean, we just got to go up there and take it one pitch at a time and get some guys on base and homer here, double there. I mean, why not?
Hey, Bryce, I see you looking at that card. I never had one of those. What's on that card?
So it tells me where to play. I was so bad in D.C. that when I came here, they were like, hey, we're going to have to tell you how to play. And I said, okay. No, I'm just kidding. No, but it really, it tells you, it pretty much tells you where to play the guy and where to shade him and things like that, so.
And does it also have counts with two strikes, one strikes?
No, I mean, that's usually Pac. He'll, like, signal out to us or something with what he thinks we should do, depending on, you know, who's hitting or who's on second or third or situation. So, but it's usually just stay where you're at, and if they do have a situation they want you to move in, then they'll holler over and they'll move us.
When you broke in 2012, your rookie year, there were no cards for outfielders then. When did that start for you? At what point of your career?
When I got here, actually. Yeah, last year. I don't remember the Nationals doing it. I didn't really have a card or anything. I might have, but I don't remember as much there doing it. But when I got here last year, I mean, I owe lots of Pac, man. He gets me out here daily, at least, you know, once a series or so. And, you know, he works with me and things like that. He does a great job with me. So, I mean, he really wants me to be good. And, you know, I really appreciate all the effort he's given me, you know, since I've been here. So, it's been really good.
Ball and no strikes to Freddie Freeman. Bryce referred to as the most underrated player in sports. Certainly, we wouldn't disagree with that. We talked about last weekend, Bryce, how Freddie Freeman is a star in Atlanta for sure and in baseball circles, but he might be the best player that, you know, casual fans don't know much about. And his plate appearances tonight are a part of that. Two-run double in the second. He leads. You write him down for 300 average, 30 homers, 90-plus RBIs every year. Four-time All-Star, and he'll go down as one of the franchise all-time greats in Atlanta by the time it's over with, no doubt.
100%. I mean, I think the thing about Freddie, too, I mean, him and Rendon are my most underrated players because they have such good at-bats. They're never out of it. You know, they're always in control of their at-bats. And, I mean, he plays an unbelievable third base. Or first base, sorry about that. He plays an unbelievable first base, too. So, I mean, it's just he's an all-around player. He's really, really good. He's a great person, teammate. I mean, he's the star of Atlanta, you know what I'm saying? Like, and every single fan down in Atlanta loves him. And I think every team, you know, loves him as well. And I think you're going to see that this year if they don't extend him.
Bleacher Tweets.
Alrighty, Buster. Bleacher Tweets for this trade deadline Monday. First up, Rick Gabler at Rick_Gabler writes in, "Hey Buster, I know the Dodgers and A's are currently pacing their respective leagues with legitimate powerful rosters, but how much can be attributed to having three AL West opponents below 400?
Yeah, that's part of it. Look, anytime you see a team set, you know, records with the number of wins or winning percentage in a given season, for example, like the Yankees in 1998, you know that there's some really bad teams at the bottom of the league. In that year, it was the Tampa Bay Devil Rays, the Kansas City Royals. The Yankees absolutely feasted on them. But you know what? I don't know how you feel, Taylor. Like, you can only beat who you play.
Absolutely.
And give the Dodgers, the Athletics credit for beating the teams that they're playing.
I don't ever dock teams in any sports for who they're playing, no matter how bad they are. I mean, if you're beating the teams in front of you, that's all you can do. So I dig it. I'm not worried about it. Next up, our pal Josh Neufeld at Josh Neufeld writes in, "Buster, what are your thoughts on my Giants having to DFA Hunter Pence? His rebuilt swing, which worked with the Rangers last year, reverted to old habits this year, or the skills fell off a cliff? What do the experts like one Buster only say?"
You know, I'll defer to Hunter Pence. I don't know if you saw this, but when he was DFA'd by the Giants, he was so gracious, and he basically said, "Yeah, I get it." Now, you don't really see that very often with veteran players when they're cut loose. You know, they're angry. They feel like, well, I wasn't given enough chance. Maybe because of the fact that Hunter Pence went away and then worked and rebuilt his swing and had this great resurgence last year and enjoyed that. And, you know, this year it seemed like he was completely honest with himself about what the Giants were seeing and understanding the Giants wanted to play other guys who were playing a lot better.
Last one for today, Andrew Campbell at Real Camp Drew writes in, "Hey Buster, who do you think is a more underrated player, Luke Voit or Michael Conforto? Both have started out their careers as solid hitters and both sluggers are having all-star seasons. Borderline MVP numbers from the New York Stars. Which do you think?"
I've always thought of Michael Conforto as being a guy capable of being an all-star player. And he's, you know, an excellent player to the point that, you know, I've heard from evaluators of the teams where they say, boy, if we were looking for an upgrade, maybe we'll trade for Michael Conforto. Luke Voit kind of came out of nowhere. You know, he was viewed as a good offensive player when he was in the Cardinals offensive system, minor league system. The question was, does he have a position to play? And I know that the Yankee stats evaluators basically looked at some of his walk strikeout numbers from the minor leagues. and made the recommendation, hey, let's make a move for him. And he has absolutely exploded. You know, give him credit during the course of the shutdown of dropping some weight, getting in better shape. He's been a godsend for them, you know, with Judge down, with Stanton down, with Gleyber Torres down. Luke Voit might be the most important player right in the middle of their lineup right now.
Alrighty, that does it for Bleacher Tweets for today. Send those tweets in as deals are done, and we will be recording later, and the show will come out tomorrow morning. Thanks, everyone.
That's it for today. My thanks to Tim and to Taylor. Have a great day, everybody. Thanks for listening. Stay safe. Enjoy the Trade Deadline Show. Remember, that goes from 3 to 5 o'clock on ESPN later today. And remember, hate and inequality based on skin color is something that we have to fight against every single day.
Thanks for listening to the Baseball Tonight podcast. If you're playing fantasy baseball, don't forget to listen to the Fantasy Focus podcast. Check out all podcasts at ESPN.com/podcenter. Baseball Tonight, the podcast.